afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10 and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Deckers, makers of Uggs and Tevas, Pierre Lafon, Wendy Foster, offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines, Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years, Habitat for Humanity, building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter, and CSU Channel Islands. No matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And we're here today with Rochelle Ross Steidel, chair of the Student Mental Wellness Coalition, the owner of Steidel Consulting, and the founder and CEO of ParentClick.com. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
So with all those titles, thank you for spending some time with us.
Happy to be here.
So let's start with the Student Mental Health Mental Wellness Coalition. We actually have had several times the mental wellness health group on, which is really interesting. But tell us about the Student Mental Wellness Coalition.
So I am a parent in Santa Barbara. I have three teenagers, two who are off to college and another that's a sophomore. And having done Parent Click since, and this is a little bit more history than you might want, but having done Parent Click for the last 15 years, I just turned it over to somebody else about a year and a half ago. I started getting more engaged with teens and mental health and watching the process with the schools and working with other parents and students, realize that we lack a lot of resources in Santa Barbara for teens. And I spent about a year and a half doing some research, talking to a lot of the high school counselors about this issue, and as a result decided to bring together all the key stakeholders in our community around the issue to really talk about the gaps in services.
Well, which is right in our wheelhouse. AHA is a teen program that is dedicated to helping our children, get through what is probably the most difficult part of their lives, which is being a teenager. So this is very apropos of what we like to talk about.
I'm a big fan of AHA. One of my daughters actually did 6 months of your program.
Okay. So the Student Mental Wellness has among its resources therapists. Is that correct? Do you have
I should explain a little bit. So the Student Mental Wellness website was really put together informally about a year ago to just start putting information and resources together in one place, because it's very confusing to find information. So it is still a very informal website in terms of information, but the goal with that, unlike what I did with Parent Click, was really to start vetting good information for parents, because sometimes it's as simple as reading a book, a great book that will make you have a better understanding of what your child's going through. Sometimes it's seeing a therapist. Sometimes it's getting connected with an agency that's going to be able to offer support. But it was really bringing more information into one place for families.
I just heard a TED Talk that someone sent me yesterday. And I forgot his name, but it was really fascinating. He is involved in trying to find meaning in elderly people's lives. And what he found is that if you pair an elderly person who has a capacity to love and to support, you can really help teens. And he thinks that one of the most important things you can give to a teen is unconditional support and love. And he cites an example of a elderly home that's built on a campus in Massachusetts for middle school, and how they've been able to provide a place for the elderly to engage with the youth. And over the years, his work has shown that there's an incredible benefit to teens when they get from their parent or a parent, or even a big brother, big sister, get some support and unconditional support. So I guess that's part of, we would be looking for here.
It's interesting because there's a woman, Wendy, here for a number of years who was working on a model like that for foster kids, doing a whole program that was with grandparents and living on the same property, and it was really, I love that idea.
Yeah, and the other, you know, point that I'm bringing in all my work over the last 2 days because you were coming on, there was an article in yesterday's web version of Newsweek, which showed which talked about a new study that said that teenagers age 15 to 16 who have close friendships rather than just a larger group of kids actually do better over time. And that the ability, they think that the ability to make a friend is a real precursor, a predictor of, or to have a high quality close friendship is a predictor of success in life. And, you know, one of the things AHA does is to provide a safe place where people can actually make friends and not feel that they're going to be picked on with all the bullying that's taking place. So I guess, you know, one of the things that I'd ask you is you know, there, how important is it, do you think, for these kids to feel able to really make relationships with their own age group?
I think it's really important, and I think one of the benefits of programs like AHA and a new program that I've been developing this last year that we're doing in all the high schools called the Wellness Connection Clubs is transparency and is the opportunity for students to be more authentic. I think they're under so much pressure to be perfect all the time that when they're able to be in these groups where they can really talk about what they're going through or feeling or struggling with, that provides not only support but a safe place.
So what is this club that you're starting? What is it actually called again, and what does it do?
It's the Wellness Connection Club. So when we started the coalition a year and a half ago and we're looking at gaps in services, we also tried to start looking at what are some of the very simple things that we can do right now that don't cost a lot of money, don't require a lot of time, and but can start making a difference. And so there were two things that struck me, and that was one, being able to connect parents with support. So we started something called the SPOT groups through the Mental Wellness Center that are supporting parents of teens, and it's a safe, confidential place for parents who have teens that are struggling anywhere from you know, suicidal ideation to ADHD to depression. It's really the spectrum of things, but it gives parents a place to come and talk and learn more tools about their own self-care and setting boundaries and navigating with their homes, because often their homes are in crisis when their kids are struggling. So the SPOT group is one for parents. The other was, how do we start connecting teens? So there's these great clubs on a lot of the college campuses now, and one of them is called Active Minds, and there's quite a few others. So we started looking at doing a high school club, and one of the people serving on our on the coalition, Roxanne Pate from Santa Barbara City College, has been doing a Wellness Connection Club up there, and we decided, why not model it after something that already exists in our own community?
And how do you get the kids to join? Is there a stigma attached to it?
No, well, I mean, there could be, but we were really fortunate last year. We launched it at San Marcos High School with two girls, a junior and a freshman, Alexandria Marks and Emily Steidel, and they were able to recruit 35 freshman students in the first year, and we had a really phenomenal year. We also had a lot of challenges in our own community this past year with very public suicides, and as a result, that put this a little more in people's minds, and so we had kids coming into the club just as a place to talk and connect. And the goal of the clubs is not for the kids to fix any of the problems on their campus or to fix other kids. The goal of these kids is to be ambassadors, to model wellness on their campuses, to model what it looks like to ask for help, to reach out and have those authentic conversations.
You're listening to AHA Presents A Bad Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to AHA Presents A Bad Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here with Rachel Ross Steidel, the chair of the Student Mental Wealth Coalition and owner of Stidle Consulting and founder of and CEO of ParentClick.com. We talk about student mental health coalition. The coalition means that there are other groups involved besides the Mental Health Association. Is that who are the other groups?
So the coalition involves, wow, it's a lot. It involves about 10 different agencies from Santa Barbara. AHA has gotten involved in that. It involves law enforcement because we have sheriff and police that are dealing with these issues all the time. It involves the medical community. It involves parents, students. We really have tried to make it as broad as possible to cover all the sectors that relate back to student mental health. And so we spent the first year meeting and talking about the gaps in services in our community, who has access to services in our community. And one of the issues that was really important to me in convening everybody is that we really look at understanding that every student in this community and beyond is susceptible to mental illness. There is so much stigma attached to asking for help and talking about these issues that when people think there is a type of person, that you have to be from a divorced family or from poverty or any one type of thing, then all of a sudden it's not okay when your child starts to struggle. So, and in saying that, we also wanted to address the fact that just because we have people that can afford services doesn't mean we actually have the services for them. So as a coalition, that's what we've been looking at this past year. And now this new year coming up, what we're starting to focus on is how do we get more strategic in working together in this community with all the programs, because we have great agencies here in Santa Barbara. And the goal is not to start one more nonprofit. The goal is really to look at how do we leverage what we have and work more cohesively together.
You mentioned suicide before, and you look at drug addiction, you look at alcoholism. These are really subsets of mental health issues. And
right.
So when you focus on just one issue, you're really missing the point. It's like I know there were, in my life, I've met what I call dry alcoholics, where people stop drinking, but they whatever problem drove them to drink in the first place, they still, it still manifests in some other way. And that's a tough sell to people. You know, it's for whatever bizarre reason, people are more willing to say, I drink too much than I have a mental health problem.
It's so true. There is, and yet there's a direct correlation between substance use and mental health. And yet saying those words, and even saying I feel depressed, but to actually attribute it to being a mental health illness is very different. I feel like the conversations are starting to change. People are starting to be more open. And to be honest, what I've gotten to work with all of these kids through the Wellness Connection Clubs this last year, and now we're rolling it out into all the high schools this year between Carpinteria and Goleta. And I'm actually amazed at how much better kids are about talking about this. It's a lot of it is the parents that struggle with it the most, because there's so much pressure for your kid to be the best on their sports team, to be the perfect student in class, to be going to Stanford. And until we start moving some of that back and focusing more on our kids' wellness and happiness, I think we're going to continue to have kids struggling and unable to ask for that help.
You know, what's really fascinating to me, when I was in my teens and early 20s, the old saying was, you know, I wouldn't trust anyone over 30. And now that we're all, you know, close to or over 60, we're just as conservative in many ways than our parents. You look at the polling and, you know, whether it's transgendered issues, gay issues, you know, the young kids don't care. You know, they're much
right.
more liberal. You know, we've turned into our parents.
Completely.
Yeah. So you are not just talking like me. I have my expertise comes from being a patient for a long time. You actually are a professional. So tell us a little bit about your background.
I have worn a lot of hats over the years. I have my master's in clinical psychology, so that was my focus going coming out of school. But I had spent a number of years in business and was very passionate about business. And then in my mid-20s, I got pregnant with twins. And so that kind of changed a lot of things for me because I needed to stay home the first couple years. When my twins were getting ready to start preschool, I realized during the research process, I had grown up in Santa Barbara. And so the moms groups that I was involved with, a lot of the moms who were new to Santa Barbara were asking about different resources in Santa Barbara. And all of a sudden I thought, why do we not have one easy place to do this? Why are all of these moms, and at that time the internet was not as common to use, so all of these moms are, you know, looking through phone books and making lists and trying to get into these schools and trying to find out about camps, and we're all doing the same work. So at that time I decided anything with a book is outdated quickly. So I decided to go into building a website. And I really didn't know what I was biting off at the time, or that it would grow up with my children. But I launched it when I was pregnant with my third daughter. And it really did grow up with my kids. So a lot of what I've been doing over the last 15 years has been aggregating information for families in our community. And what was really important to me in the early years is there's so much pressure, even at that age again, for parents to, in terms of the judgment of, you know, you're not doing it right. You know, it's like you kids are supposed to sleep in the bed. They're not supposed to sleep in the bed. How long do you nurse for? You're a bad parent if you didn't nurse. I mean, so Parent Click was really about a safe place to get information. And it was meant to be very well-rounded with everything from the nonprofit sector, the business sector. So parents could find the resources they needed for their family. And it could have been camps, after school programs, you have it. So so that's what I've been doing. And as a result, I've been very involved in the community over the last 15 years, working with a lot of nonprofits. So then 2 years ago, when I transitioned from Parent Click and we turned it over to new owners, which has been great, I decided to put my focus on the teen side. So now I'm actually getting to where the psychology hat again, which I'm really enjoying. I'm getting to work with teenagers again, which I love. And again, and so this title consulting is yet another hat. That was started off with me doing a lot of the marketing and technology consulting for nonprofits and small businesses. So I've been doing that, but the mental health, student mental health, has kind of taken over my time.
So if I followed correctly, the best way to become a successful entrepreneur is to become pregnant? Is that the conclusion we can reach?
That is the conclusion. I was actually raised in a family of entrepreneurs, so I think it's in my blood. Both my brothers have their own businesses, and it just we seem to have these workaholic tendencies in our family.
So Parent Click is a for-profit business?
It is, and that was actually intentional. It has more of a nonprofit model, but even 15 years ago, I didn't think we needed another for-profit or nonprofit competing. And I also, it was very important to me at that time. I love our community, but I get frustrated sometimes at how often people divide the nonprofit and business sector, because there's so much overlap. And between the two, I mean, we have businesses who are doing so much to give back to nonprofits. And so I wanted something that housed everything under one umbrella. So
this is coming out of left field, but Goop, which is an online web service that helps, among other things, mothers, gets into trouble sometimes because the articles that they put on their site turn out not to be accurate. How did you vet information that was on your website to make sure it was appropriate?
I did, and that was actually very time-consuming, and actually because of that, we were very careful in everything that we did in the beginning. I didn't accept a lot of advertising. We did not post a lot of articles other than what I was writing, mm-hmm. because I feel really sensitive to the information you do put out to parents. And in fact, with the businesses, they were vetted. We weren't approving businesses. We were simply putting them up there. But we also, for the first 10 years, didn't allow people to post comments on businesses, mm-hmm. because I realized in a small community, and I would get private emails about businesses, that sometimes it was just one bad experience that could really hurt an organization. And often getting them to work through it together was more effective. And then as things like Yelp came out and people became a little more responsible about how they did that, we started offering those opportunities.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back. Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, improving attitude, creating social harmony, bridging the achievement gap for teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here with Rachel Ross Steidel, chair of the Student Mental Health Mental Wellness Coalition, and owner of Steidel Consulting and founder of
parentclick.com. We're talking about issues that affect everyone, but particularly teens. And one of the things that I find really not just for teens, but for everyone today, and I just read it, creating social harmony. And given the current political climate, how does that affect these kids today? I mean, we as adults, run around, crazed because of some of the things we see. Has this affected teens?
It has affected teens. And I've gotten to talk to a couple of people who do a lot of teen leading in the community. And it was interesting because it was my twins' first year to be able to vote this year. And I was amazed. And then we had that Women's March shortly after. And it's been amazing for me to watch my kids. And I've been so impressed with how invested students have become in understanding the issues. I think what's challenging is for a lot of kids who are new voters, they feel somewhat powerless too, to think that what does that vote really count for? And, I guess for me, when I see the political climate, so much of what we try to teach our kids is respect. And so at the bottom, at the core of everything, it's respecting others. And so I think that's been a challenging thing in our political climate. And the students see that, whether they're voting age or not. So I think a lot of kids have struggled with that.
And one of the things that has particularly troublesome for this community that has a pretty large percentage of population from Mexico is the fear that when the kid goes home from school, his parents won't be home. And I wonder if that's something that is a focus of some of these groups that you're working with. How do you make these kids feel safe?
I have not been directly working with students in that arena, but I am on the Scholarship Foundation board, and I do know that we have a whole group of students who are illegally documented, or undocumented. And again, there is so much fear for those students, and it's awful for what they're having to go through.
So you went on the Santa Barbara Scholarship Foundation because you had free time most afternoons, or you like to go to board meetings?
They serve a great lunch.
Well, that makes sense. It's so interesting about how, and I my kids are grown, but I remember, you sort of go with the kids. So your children were younger and you got involved in programs for kids and then the teens, and now they're in college. There's sort of a natural progression. You kind of follow your kids in terms of
you
what.
You really do.
Yeah.
And actually, I would say, I said that before with Parent Click, it's really grown up. The way it evolved was due to my kids' ages. But then even the boards I sit on, my passions have changed over the years. And it's true. And now doing the student mental health stuff. I'm around so many teenagers. We have so many teens in and out of our house. And I am a huge believer in giving back to the community, and so I've wanted to model that to my own children, and I believe that in order to give back, you need to find things that you love doing. Otherwise, it feels like work, and so.
One of the interesting things about Santa Barbara, which is probably representative of the whole country, we had a guest on a few months ago who was a woman that has a transgender child. She was expressing that at 2 years old. So she called her doctor, and the doctor said, I don't know anything about this, but there's some place in Los Angeles. So she went to Los Angeles, and for the next 3-4 years, she found a whole support group and psychologists, and she came back and said, why, after 3 years, this was so helpful, why don't we have it in Santa Barbara? So she put out an email or some kind of blast, and thinking if they could find some people in Santa Barbara. And again, the doctor said there's really no expertise here because there's really no need. 26 families immediately signed up, and now she has a whole group a whole support group. So one of the things that's interesting is sometimes people either aren't aware of support or there isn't support for things that really are necessary. And I think one of the things you're doing is making sure that we have everything we need to help people through difficult situations.
Well, I think that connection piece is really important. I think we have a lot of families who struggle with feeling isolated once their kids start struggling. And that woman speaking is such a perfect example of that. When we started the SPOT group, A lot of it was after having a lot of individual.
What does that mean? Excuse me. What is SPOT group?
Sorry, support for parents of teens.
Okay.
And we came up with an acronym that was somewhat obscure, so that parents could even feel safe saying the name. and the Mental Wellness Center has been hosting it, it's under the Mental Wellness Center, and then the SB PAL at the Teen Center has been really gracious in letting us host the meetings there because, again, it's a really neutral space for parents to show up, because when parents are first starting to put their toes in the water of, wow, my child might have a mental illness issue, it's scary. And so we started in June a little over a year ago, and we have had more than 70 women come through. This particular group has turned into be moms, and then we have an alternate one that's for parents, and it just happened to be that's how it worked out. But to see these women from Montecito to San Ynez coming and sharing and laughing and connecting is amazing. And a lot of it is you just need a place to feel like you feel normal and you're not feeling shame and you're not feeling like you did something wrong all the time, because not all of these things. So often I've heard over the years coming out of the schools that if it wasn't for helicopter parents, not everything is related to helicopter parenting. And I've really come to believe this last few years that it's not just helicopter parenting. It's the way our society has changed. It used to be that, I mean, when I was growing up, academics were important. Sports were important, but there was balance with all of it. Now I've had kids, one of my daughters played club sports for 8 years. It was literally 365 days a year minus 2 weeks. And she never had an opportunity to fit in another sport. And, you know, with academics, the kids have this intense pressure. People tell parents, don't put so much pressure on your kids. The peer pressure is amazing. We were constantly asking our kids to back off from the classes they were taking. But when you see all of your friends doing AP and honors and the kids have so much more pressure to be perfect now, and there's such a focus on getting into the perfect college, and they get there. And I remember my daughter calling me from her first semester at school saying, I'm just so stressed about midterms. And I said, you're in. Can you start to relax now? Because really, unless you start to fail out, you're okay. But they don't realize that the perfect eight grades and being the best at your sport is not going to define your life. I mean, having the real relationships, having balance in your life, learning how to take care of yourself, learning to find happiness, those are the things that are going to set you up for life. And I think that pressure is coming from so many places now, not just inside the home.
There are so many people I went to school with that did so much better than me that never succeeded in the real world because they lacked emotional intelligence. And grades don't give you emotional intelligence.
No.
Speaking of which, you mentioned that this group had 80 women and you sort of glossed over
it. Not at a time, though.
And I understand, but you glossed over it saying, you know, the women, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is I think men are more resistant to facing the fact that their child may have issues, that it's sort of like he's not tough enough. I think there's no accident that women are willing to take the lead in this. You know, that's unfortunate. And I could be wrong, but.
You know what? I think part of it is natural that women do, but I also think part of it is being the primary caretaker. For instance, my husband and I both have always worked as our kids have grown, but I am still considered the primary caretaker in our home. And so because of that, I'm the one who's in the car with him all the time. He travels a lot for work. So there's just a lot of those little conversations that take place that you just intuitively are more aware of. But I do really believe that dads want to be more engaged. I mean, one of the reasons I did not name Parent Click moms or anything else related to moms was I really do believe both parents need to be involved. And I think what's so neat is that that's been changing. I think sometimes men have a harder time, or dads have a harder time sometimes, with understanding the levels of the illness piece of it. That it's and actually moms can do this too, where it's, well, everybody gets a little depressed sometimes. We're all stressed out. And being able to differentiate what it looks like to just be having kind of a bad day versus this chronic depression all the time, where it's actually hard to get out of bed.
You're listening to AHA Presents on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here with Rochelle Ross Steidel, the chair of the Student Mental Wellness Coalition, owner of Steidel Consulting, and the founder of CEO of ParentClick.com. So I just read about bullying, and bullying to me is one of the most insidious parts of being a teen. Of course, we see bullying in our political environment as well, but at least hopefully adults can take care of themselves. But how serious is this bullying, particularly if someone is being bullied because of some mental health issue?
It's really serious, and I'm sure you're familiar with the series that came out this past year, 13 Reasons Why. With the Wellness Connection Clubs, one of the things that we're doing is addressing a different campaign every month. And as I said before, it's modeled after City College. And so one of the reasons we decided to do it in the model this one after the City College is that we have so many kids now on the promise going from the high school to City College and also doing dual enrollment. So there's just a natural connection. Well, one of the things that Roxanne and I have been working a lot on is coming up with these positive message campaigns to cover the harder issues. So for instance, September is You Matter Month, but it's also Suicide Awareness Month. So we're really going to be looking at self-care, knowing the signs and those kinds of things. The following month is Bullying Awareness, and we are going to be looking at bystander awareness. So one of the things that kids forget is that just by standing there and watching it or participating in it or being observing it online with social media, that they do have a part in it. And so often I didn't send the message. So I think sometimes people don't even realize that even that bystander piece has a really big impact. Even if you're not the one to send the message, when kids know that you are a part of that and you're not doing anything about it, it's incredibly painful.
That's why I like restorative justice systems, because
yes,
it makes it very clear to the perpetrator the harm they do, rather than just simply punishing. It makes the perpetrator become somewhat aware of what they're missing, which is probably empathy, which whenever I have someone with your credentials, I always ask the question that I don't know the answer to, but can you develop empathy later in life?
I think you can develop empathy later in life. I think what is hard is cell phones and social media and digital devices make it very challenging. And I struggle with this because as much as technology has been a part of my professional life, and as much as I depend on my cell phone for everything, I get so disappointed when you talk about restorative justice. It's that face-to-face time where the kids have that connection. They see your eyes. They see your expressions. They get the emotions that you're feeling. But when they're texting these cryptic messages back and forth, they don't realize the harm their words are doing.
What do you say when you hear, which I saw on the news yesterday, which is, I don't understand it. The daughter, who's 13, dies of a drug overdose. So they had the parents on TV, which I don't understand why they would go on TV. But they said, we never knew she was taking drugs. She's 13. How do parents, without being intrusive, really get a sense of what their kid's about?
So one of the facilitators that I've been working with, I just have so much respect for, and she's been involved with AHA over the years and a lot of the high school groups, is she is always reminding parents to ask questions. That so often, and I know I get into this, as parents, we want to fix things. We want to tell our kids how things should be. We want to give them advice. But often if we just back up a little bit and start asking more questions and expressing curiosity, we can actually have those dialogues with our kids. I also think there is an assumption by parents sometimes, and I hear this actually quite a bit, of, you know what, they're teenagers now. I mean, how am I supposed to keep up with this? I can't understand social media, and I can't, and everybody drank at my age too. And so there's sort of this dismissiveness, and it's not a lack of caring, but there is a lack of understanding. And I get frustrated because I think as parents, we have a huge responsibility to stay tuned in. And I personally feel my kids have needed me more in high school to be present than they did when they were toddlers. And it's not to micromanage them, but it's to be to understand what their lives look like, what it means to when their marijuana is being legalized. And in their minds, that means it's okay. And yet it is still an addictive drug and it is still illegal when you are under 21. But somehow legalizing it is changing the mindset. And I hear parents saying that, well, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is it's much more potent. It's different than it was 20 years ago. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the term farming, but these farming parties where kids are mixing pharmaceutical pills that they just find in their parents' medicine cabinets, you know, these things are incredibly scary. And it only takes one time sometimes for, like, this girl, she may not have been doing it a lot, but it can take one time and they're in the emergency room.
So did you ask me if I was familiar with the term because I look old? and unfortunately, I wasn't familiar with the term, but now I got it. So one of the worst things that can obviously by far that could happen is suicide. And are there signs that are clear, or is it just something that you need to just be lucky to be able to sense that there's a real risk?
I think it's both. I think there is an assumption that it looks one way, but there are signs if you're looking for it. I think when we have a lot of high-functioning kids who on paper look great and show up for the things that they're supposed to be at, so coaches will say they're still playing well for the sport. Teachers will say they're still getting A's in the classes, but they are crumbling. And often that can show up with, you know, with them withdrawing, them starting to use substances, their sleep patterns getting messed up, you know, they're starting to pull back from their friendships. But a lot of the signs can be really subtle sometimes, and we can make excuses for them. And I do think we need to pay more attention to what those signs are, and not in terms of overreacting or making assumptions that someone's suicidal, but again, doing those check-ins with your kids of, are you feeling burned out? Are you feeling stressed, you know, and talking to them more about it.
But isn't it typical of a kid to say, just leave me alone, Ma. I'm fine.
It's very typical, and we can't. I think that's the thing, is that it's so much easier, and I tell my kids this all the time, it would be so much easier to not pay attention and to not know these things. But we need to keep trying, and we need to have different ways to do it. I have all girls, but I've talked to some parents of boys who've said that they've realized the best time to have conversations with their boys are either driving in the car or when they're in the kitchen working on something. They said if they're not making eye contact with their sons, that often they can get their sons to open up a little bit more. So it's getting creative with how you do it. It's not always making the conversations intense. Sometimes it's just asking open-ended questions and getting the dialogue going.
Well, for those parents that are parenting 17-year-olds and they say, it's just going to be a couple of more years and I'm fine. I have 40-year-old kids and it never ends.
Don't tell me that. Please don't tell me that.
Yeah, no, it's a full-time job. So you're in private practice as well, aren't you?
No, I'm not a private therapist. No, I'm doing facilitating and overseeing things like this coalition and doing a lot in the community, but not seeing patients.
And is that's something that you've ever done?
No, I did years ago. I did all my hours and my internships years ago at local organizations here, but never as a licensed therapist.
Oh, it sounds like you'd be really good at it. You're not, that doesn't interest you?
You know, it's funny. Back then, my passion then and now was working with youth. Mm-hmm. But what I have come to realize is I really love the group setting. So I'm much more engaged and rewarded running these groups and being with more kids instead of doing just the private setting. And I get to do enough informal one-on-ones with teens that that's fulfilling as well.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back with our final segment. Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and I'm here with Rachel Ross-Steidel, the chair of the Student Mental Wellness Coalition, owner of Style Consulting and founder and CEO of ParentClick.com. So we were talking before about the fact that you're not a therapist. I found, and I've been to many therapists over the years, that's why I'm so normal. How do you find a good therapist? That was the only times this whole interview you weren't able to speak immediately.
Well, I just want to be careful because I don't want to come across as negative, but we have a lot of great therapists. I really believe strongly that we do not have a lot of great therapists who know how to work with teenagers. I think working with teens is such a different ballgame, both with the way their brains are developing and their ability to shut down and say nothing, or their ability to show up and present really well for an hour. And so I think finding a good therapist, sometimes it's through referral. I know a lot of people who are struggling right now to find therapists for their teenagers in our community. I believe wholeheartedly in therapy. I think there's so many benefits to it. And one of the things that I've come to see with teenagers too, which I really have found interesting this last couple of years, is coaching. That a lot of our kids are used to having coaches and being coached. And not a lot of our students have years and years of baggage that a lot of us may have when we go into therapy sessions. So what they need is that accountability piece. So they need to talk through things, but then they also just need those check-ins that they don't want to do with their parents because their parents are annoying. So we talked about self-care. We talked about what it looks like for you to get, 8 hours of sleep a night and to put your cell phone away for periods of time during the day and to eat right. And to have someone who is checking in with you each week on those kinds of things can be really beneficial. As far as finding a therapist, I believe also that therapists working with adolescents need to be willing to work with parents as well. We have a lot of teenagers who will go in and convince the therapist of one thing, and a lot of therapists who really believe in, I believe wholeheartedly in confidentiality. What I don't believe in is that therapists can see the whole picture with just the teenager, not involving the parent. And so I'm a big believer that there should be some more wraparound support in how that's being done. And I also think students come to respect that a lot of the kids who are struggling feel invisible. They want to be seen. They're self-harming. They're doing all of these things because they feel invisible and they don't know how to ask for the help. So they're doing it in a destructive way.
One of the things I've been privileged to participate in is the AHA after school program where 15 to 30 kids sit around in a circle for several years after school. And well, they go home at night, but over a long period of time. And I've seen the results over 1 or 2 years that are astounding. And, some of these kids come in and they can't even speak in a public setting. And then they come out of this really different people. And one of the things that they say when you ask them what they like the best about it, besides the support and the camaraderieship, is the fact that they feel safe in that group. Mm-hmm. It is a place where they can talk about their deepest fears and their concerns about life and not feel threatened and not feel anyone will tell on them. And, it's very difficult today with bullying and with the fact that people will take advantage of you, that you can go to a place that provides safety and a place where you can express your deepest thoughts. And I think that is why generally therapy works, by the way.
Well, and you know what? That I think that therapeutic approach, what I think is so great about that is that it also shows them how many other kids share those feelings. I think it normalizes things for them. And it doesn't have to be because they're all sharing the same sort of symptoms or issues. It just is, wow, I'm not the only one struggling. They have this assumption. We've had this discussion in some of the Wellness Connection clubs where the students, after we've done some activities together, say, I just assumed everybody else has these perfect days or these perfect lives because that's what we see on social media, right? Mm. So I think those group settings that AHA create this place of, oh, I have more in common with these people than I thought, or there's more people who sort of think about these issues or struggle with these things or have these imperfect home lives as well.
So final question. We're running out of time. Tell us about Steidl Consulting.
So Steidl Consulting was just my very quick way to find my new identity in business. And so I took the pieces that I loved of doing Parent Click, which I have truly enjoyed over the years working with all these different businesses and nonprofits, and the skill sets that I had, and started working with them on a private basis. So I've been building a lot of websites, helping a lot of organizations streamline their technology, and then dovetail now into the student mental health.
Okay, it's Steidl. They have a great website. Take a look. Thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you for all you do. You've been listening to AHA Presents About Education, and we'll be right back next week.
Thank